Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again through Conversations Radio Network, as well as through our radio audience and those tuning in online. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Really excited about this next guest. If the name Nika Maples sounds familiar, it's because she was scheduled to be with us last week. We had some horrible technical issues on the online side of our program, and she was very gracious enough to be able to reschedule with us, and I'm so excited about that. She's the author of a book called Hunting Hope, Dig Through the Darkness to Find the Light. And this book, if it does not inspire you, I think there really is have to be a self-check for you, because I think as I was going through the book, the thing that I really love is not only how Nika has been able to learn from her own experiences, but how she's been able to use that platform to be able to share with other people how they can be able to find hope in their own lives. We'll talk to her about that journey, what it's been like for her to share that with all of you, but also what she hopes you're able to take away from the book. Nika, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine, Nika. I was saying to you before we went on here that, you know, the book really, I think, will speak to people exactly where they are, because I think the main thing is we all know what it's like to go through those dark times or to feel that darkness around us. But I think as you, you know, have been able to show us in the book, both illustratively and through your own example, that we really have to keep fighting through it and be able to keep, as you say in the title, Hunting Hope. What has it been like for you to share that message, Nika, and to see the way that people are responding to it?
I have been inspired myself. I know that the things that we sow into the world, just really we reap a greater harvest than we can ever imagine. And by putting out there the message of Hunting Hope, I was just dreaming that maybe someone somewhere would connect to the idea and realize that there is always hope in every situation, but there's a little bit of work to be done to find it. What I didn't expect is the number of people who have contacted me through social media or sent me emails to say, this has changed my life. I was in the darkest place that you can even imagine, and this has completely changed my outlook and has given me a way, just shown me the steps to take to move forward. To think about the days that I sat at my computer and just wrote in the silence of my office, you know, I did not anticipate that so many people would return to me the great, great privilege of being a voice into their lives. So I've enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, what an amazing thing. And I think the other thing is that, you know, we all never know. We all never know, you know, how our own journey will impact others, but also the difference that our example can have on others as well. I mentioned to you that one of the things I did when I was prepping for your segment after being able to read the book is to go on YouTube and to watch, you know, some of the interviews you've done there, but I also saw a feature that you did. And there you talk about, you know, the voices that we all hear, Nika, when situations come up in our lives. And you say it's doubt and hope. And for you, it was all about choosing to listen to the hope. Now, unfortunately, not everyone is so optimistic, and they allow the boldness of fear to get to them. You know, how did you get to a place in your life where you chose to hunt hope? You chose to not allow what was the easy way to be the way that you chose?
Right. Well, doubt really is the default. Doubt is the voice that we're going to hear in our heads most often. And I really listened to the things that I was saying to myself. I was saying a lot of negative things to myself every day, just speaking doubt, speaking fear over my life, just not expecting the best. I mean, really, in a sliver of my mind, I was dreaming or hoping of the best outcome, but the majority of my thoughts were thinking, but it probably won't work out that way for me. And I thought, wait a second. It's just as easy for me to hear a different voice, to listen for the voice of hope, to listen for the voice of freedom, to listen for the voice of confidence, because that voice speaks too. It's just a quieter voice. And that's where the idea of effort came in for me, of making a choice. And that's why the verb hunting in my book title is so critical. We can't just receive hope as if it drops on our doorstep every morning. No, instead we have to be active in pursuit of hope. We have to hunt for it. And when those two voices come, the loud one being the voice of doubt, the quiet whisper being the voice of hope, then we get to choose which one we close off and which one we listen to. And always, always, we will benefit from listening to the voice of hope.
Right. I think that is so true, even when it is not easy to do. And I think that is the thing for sure. And I think, too, you know, for a lot of people, we all looked for examples. And you've been able to share those even in the book. In the chapter 3, He Has a Plan, Anika, you began that with two scriptures. One is Proverbs 16:4, the Lord works out everything to its proper end. And then you use 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials. I want to talk about that 2 Peter 2:9, because I think that is something that we know. We know this, but it is not always easy to be able to embrace it and to realize it. You say this, though, in the book, for those who have the print edition, talking about some of the biblical examples that we have on page 37, God does not fully explain to Abraham how a great nation will come from him. He just asks him to move to a new land. The plan unfolds after he does. God does not fully explain to Moses how the Israelites will leave Egypt and escape Pharaoh with his pursuing chariots. He just asks Moses to approach the Red Sea. The plan unfolds after he does. God does not fully explain any plan to anyone, as far as I can see in Scripture. He only asks them to do something, and then the plan unfolds. That requires a great deal of faith. What has it been like for you to see how your faith has grown throughout your journey, Nika, and what has it been like for you to be able to share that journey?
Well, there have been so many times when I walked through situations that were exactly that. I mean, when I was paralyzed and in the hospital after having suffered a stroke, then I did not know that I was ever going to be able to walk or talk again. In fact, doctors told me that I would never walk or talk again. That's the voice of doubt that's very loud. And I had to listen to that still, small, quiet voice. And it's the voice of God that says, you trust in me. You trust in me. And I began that process of rehabilitation not knowing the outcome. And that is maybe a big example that not every one of your listeners will experience, but I know they've experienced a lot of different examples, much like when I was sitting in my office and writing a book. I mean, I felt the Lord putting onto my heart this message of hunting for hope, but I had no idea if it would ever be published. In fact, as I pursued publication, I was getting rejection letter after rejection letter, and all I knew was that God had told me to write it. He didn't unfold the plan about how it was going to get published. So it was another example of walking out exactly what I knew I needed to be doing, but taking those steps of difficult obedience, trusting that they would take me to the promised land where I was supposed to be. And the bigger example I gave you, the medical crisis, yes, I'm walking again, but I still walk with a limp and with a cane. And even an imperfect outcome in our lives can be perfect for us. That's one way that I can share with you that truth from that verse when it says God knows how to rescue godly men from trials. The way that he rescues us truly is to rescue us inwardly, to rescue our hearts from being slaves to circumstance. I am no longer a slave to my circumstance. I may live as a person who's handicapped, but I'll tell you what, my heart is free. My heart is mobile and active because God has set me free. And so that is one way that he rescues us from our trials. Our situations more than likely will change and get better. But even if they don't, he can rescue us in our inward man and make us stronger than we ever dreamed possible.
Right. I think that is so true. And, you know, you talk later on in the book, Nika, in fact, I'm going to read a part of that, is that so many times we try to get through the challenges too quickly. And I think what happens for me, I know I have experienced this for myself, is that sometimes is how you learn, how you grow. It's almost like being back in school and realizing that, you know, for many people, you know, it takes those challenges to make us really realize that this is bigger than us. Do you think that also has been one of the big takeaways for you throughout your life, is that this has really shown, you know, how little you are in control and how important it is to always remember that?
Yes, and you just said a key sentence that has always been a really important moment in my memories. When I was in ICU and completely paralyzed, when I was unable to speak or communicate in any way, when I couldn't even blink, my mother knelt beside my bed and held my hand. She just trusted that I could hear her, and she whispered, "It's bigger than you." And she didn't mean this crisis is bigger than you. I mean, we could recognize that. She meant the way you handle this, the way you walk through this, will ultimately be even bigger than your own life. And boy, that has proved to be true, because people have looked at my example of holding on to faith during a time of great difficulty, and it has been a much bigger testimony than I could ever tell with just one mouth. I mean, my book is going forth all around the world, and a lot through the internet. A lot of the teachings that I have online are going throughout the world. That same exact
right.
principle is true in all of our lives. When somebody is going through a financial crisis that seems obvious to people, when they're going through a relationship crisis that feels like it's on the front page for everyone to see, especially now with Facebook, I mean, some of our private issues that are embarrassing sometimes get blasted out to the world, and we feel so humiliated when those difficult times and our own crises are out there as news for the world. The thing is, though, the way we handle it is bigger than us, because God will always teach. He will always teach his people, and he will always redeem the things that are uncomfortable for us. And so if we allow him to work through our circumstances, he can turn whatever we experience, he can turn it around for good. And then maybe that thing that embarrasses you today will be a point of victory for you tomorrow. And the same people who saw your low point will see your high point, and they will know that you held on to faith, and that was the reason you were able to experience victory.
Right. I think that is the amazing thing and a great reminder for all of us. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Nika Maples is our guest for this segment. We're discussing with her book, Hunting Hope, Dig Through the Darkness to Find the Light, and what it's been like for her to share her own personal journey with all of us, as well as, of course, the lessons she's been able to learn. You know, you talk about also in the book about the seasons. That goes back to Chapter 3 in an interesting way that you're able to address this. This is what you wrote on page 47 of the print edition, Nika. "You may be walking through winter, but God knows how many steps are left until you reach spring. Sometimes the cold won't end until you move to a warmer climate. Trust him to take you there. There's no way to know the best place to settle our hearts, so we have to ask God and then act on what he says. God is an expert at devising intricate plans. Therefore, ours can be pretty simple. Obedience. That's what's next for all of us." Do you feel as though writing this book, sharing this book, and being able to be out and speaking the way that you are, Nika, is a way of your showing that obedience?
Oh, definitely. Because a lot of the times the stories that I share are personal, and I would never overshare. I only share when I feel like there's a lesson connected to it. But a lot of times I feel like those lessons are steps of obedience, because anytime we teach, it's because we walked through something that was difficult and we had to learn first before we had something to teach. Well, I submit to that, and I see that some of the hard things that I go through end up being a lesson for myself to learn and then a lesson to share. And one of the things that I wrote that about moving to a warmer climate, sometimes the season won't change until you move to a warmer climate. I feel like this is an encouragement to some people out there who may feel stuck in an old label that they gave themselves long ago based on a circumstance that was hurtful or difficult. There's someone I know who recently was telling me that her hard, hard time that she's going through right now, she was talking about it like it was fresh, and I thought it was. I mean, we were talking about this difficult time that she was going through because her husband had abandoned her. That was completely hurtful, completely wrong, but I listened to her thinking that it was a new wound. Well, when I asked how long ago that had happened, it was more than 20 years ago. And she was saying that she was still stuck. She said, the reason I can't move forward is because my husband left me. And I said, oh, no, wait. He left you 20 years ago. You, for your own sake, you have to move forward. For your own sake, you have to move to a different climate. You're not the abandoned person anymore. You're not the forsaken person anymore. You have to move. And so I think that's something that we all can do. I can sometimes think of myself as the chronically ill person or as the handicapped person. And we all know we've been in the point where we think, oh, I'm the poorest person I know. I have financial problems and all the rest of my friends are doing well. Or I'm the loneliest person because I haven't gotten married yet and all my friends are married or whatever. You know, we have to move on to a warmer climate and realize that those old labels are like staying in winter. For some reason, there's no comfort there in staying with the old things that happen to us. Sure, those moments helped to create us. They helped to change us. Hopefully, they made us stronger. But at some point, it's time to share the lessons we've learned. And the more you reach out and share the lessons that you've learned with people around you, the more you'll find yourself in a springtime climate in a better situation because now you're not just receiving help, you're helping others.
Yeah. I think that is so true. You know, there's another thing you mentioned about individuals, and I think that the thing is, you know, we don't always realize the power of the words that we speak on ourselves and to ourselves, and then, of course, to others, too, and what those words do. I mean, it seems as though from reading Hunting Hope, Nika, that you realized early on the power that words had. I mean, what has it been like for you to embrace that and to realize that just by opening your mouth, what can come out of that can literally change the way someone sees themselves and the way that they look at their circumstances?
Mm-hmm. Well, when God created the earth, he spoke it into being. And so he said, let there be light, and what he said became so. And then he made us in his image. So I believe that our words have creative power too. Not the same level of creative power that his do. He still has the ultimate say in whatever is created. But I didn't even realize for the first half of my life that the things that I said were creating realities in my life. The more I looked in the mirror and said, I don't like this about my face, the more I noticed that about my face, the more the lines, the wrinkles or whatever became deeper, the more I looked frustrated or disheartened. And physically, I was creating that by the way I looked at myself and called myself. But when I started changing that and saying, you know what, I'm satisfied with the way I am. I love my face just the way it is because it's mine and nobody else's. What the incredible reality that started happening is I started really, truly being satisfied with the way I looked and no longer being critical. We all look into the mirror and we speak those things over ourselves. I don't like this. I don't like that. And then pretty soon, that's the only thing that we notice about ourselves. And we've got to start changing the way we view our physical lives and say things that are positive because we would never insult somebody else the way we insult ourselves. We would never walk up to someone and say, you know, I don't like that about your body. I don't like that about your face. We would never say that, but who's most valuable to us? The person who's most valuable is ourselves. We are the one we're going to live with the longest in life, and yet we insult ourselves freely. that goes for the inner mind as well. I have caught myself so many times saying, you're so stupid. I'm so stupid. I should have known better. I don't deserve better than this. This is just what I get. I mean, I say all those negative things to myself, and I started realizing the more I call out mistakes, the more I'm going to make them. Instead, I reframe my view of my heart and my view of my mind, and I say, well, that was not the best choice I could have made. I'm going to make a better choice next time because I'm a strong person and I know how to make good choices. I'm smart, so I'm going to make good choices next time instead of just saying, that was so stupid, you know? I mean, so our words have a lot of creative power. They create things in our lives that become realities, and we have to be responsible with our mouths. We have to be responsible in what we share, not only with others, but what we share with ourselves, because we're only going to be as strong as we say we are.
Right. I think that is it. And as you say, even in the book, you know, being able to turn those words around. I love the fact that you talk about, you know, about the muscle of our words. And it really does show, remind us of, I think, the power, Nika, for sure. You know, again, everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. I've been speaking today with Nika Maples. She's been very gracious with her time today as we've had to reschedule her conversation. She was scheduled to be with us last week. We had some technical issues, but she's with us today, and we're discussing her book, Hunting Hope, Dig Through the Darkness to Find the Light. We're about to tell you here in a moment how you can get the book for yourself. You conclude the book by saying this: the person with inner strength respects others because he respects God. He takes others seriously because he takes God seriously. He works hard because he is working for God. Our choices should have nothing to do with what we see and everything to do with what we don't. Treating others better than they deserve feels unnatural. In fact, it requires supernatural self-control. So what do you hope people realize about this journey, about their own search for hope, Nika? What do you hope they're able to realize about, not only about what's possible, but also why they have to be in a position where they are hunting for it and not give up that hunt?
Mm-hmm. Because they can actually change situations. That's the point of this book, is that they can actually change situations when they hunt for hope. That passage you read about treating people better than they deserve, that's actually the very hardest thing I've ever had to do. People often look at my life with chronic illness and lupus, and they look at my recovery after a massive brainstem stroke, and they say, oh, I could never do that. I could never do what you've done. You have such inner strength. And I often think, oh, listen, that's not the hardest thing I've ever done. And really and truly, I bet you and I both have the same story about the hardest thing we've ever done. The hardest thing we will ever have to do is forgive somebody who's hurt us on purpose. It's to treat somebody better than they deserve. That's the hardest thing. We can get through all kinds of difficulty, but that choice to lay down resentment, to let go of anger, to let go of bitterness and frustration, that's what's hard. And so the message that I want to convey to your listeners is your situation may be extremely hurtful because people were the ones who hurt you. However, you have a choice, even in that moment, to be the big-hearted person that you were created to be. You don't have to be small-hearted and stay in a hurt place. You can be the big-hearted individual that you were created to be and say, hey, you know what? I'm laying down all this hurt. I'm dropping it. I'm not saying that it was okay what you did, and I'm not saying that I completely forget what you did. I'm just not going to hold you responsible for paying me back, because God is the one who pays me back and rewards me for forgiving. And I choose to forgive you and show respect to you because you're a son or daughter of God. Even though you may not seem like you deserve respect because of the things you've chosen to do, I'm going to respect you as a human being because God created you. And I'm going to show respect for God in that way. And here's the supernatural thing. Relationships change when we do that. when you show somebody respect when they don't deserve it, when you show somebody love when they don't deserve it, eventually the situation starts melting, and the cold freeze just breaks off of it, and sometimes you reach a place of peace. And not every relationship is meant to be completely restored back to what it was. Some of them can be. Sometimes you won't be in relationship with that person again for the rest of your life, but you'll have the peace and the security that you're seeking and that you long for. And that's the benefit of doing the hard work of treating people better than they deserve. That's why the Bible tells us to do it. That's why it says, love your enemies, turn the other cheek when somebody hurts you, bless those who curse you, because what God wants for us is that inner security and peace that comes when we do those things.
Right, for sure. And to remember, too, as you point out, Nika, in the book, it's not going to happen overnight. It definitely is a journey for sure. So
yes,
don't give up.
It is.
If you find yourself slipping along the way, it does not mean that all hope is lost. But as the title of the
right.
book definitely reminds us, you definitely have to keep on. You have to keep hunting forward and seeking it. Nika Maples, again, has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Nika. The book is Hunting Hope, Dig Through the Darkness to Find the Light. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com, through its different platforms there. And, Nika, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you?
The best way to stay connected is to go to NikaMaples.com and sign up for my email list. I send a monthly encouragement email that really I get responses all the time by people saying that came at just the right moment and encouraged me in just the right way. It will come exactly when you need it. So I encourage people to connect with me that way.
All right, so make sure you all stay connected with her. NikaMaples.com, again, is that website. Nika, again, congratulations to you. Thank you for the time, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thank you. I would love to.
All right, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Nika, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through their site. You can also find the link through our social media pages at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Nika is also there. We tagged her on our pages as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.